Colin as the management team at Corporate Sports, because they've got a job to do and trying to do the best thing by their client, these wishes at the moment. But we've got a job to do running a footy club, and the business is about winning games. So we can't go backwards.
Welcome back to Sports Day. We're here for Red Energy and the new Kia Niro. That was the voice of Jason McCartney, the head of footy, also the list manager of GWS, speaking to us last night. The Bobby Hill deal didn't go through. His manager is Colin Young, and he joins us live on Spork today. Welcome, Colt.
Hi, guys. How you going?
We're good. You've had a night to sleep on it now, Colin. How do you sort of feel about Bobby going back to the Giants?
Yeah, not much sleep, but Bobby sort of, is Andrew McDougall's direct client, but I was certainly in the passenger seat to this that Andrew was driving it. So it was a bit disappointing and deflating for everyone involved, you know, the family, Bobby, and certainly us working through it. That didn't come off at the end.
So I just wanted to ask you from your perspective, because I think a lot of people are interested in how player managers work, Colin. Did you find out sort of too late? Like, would you have liked to have known weeks earlier that Bobby, in fact, wanted to go to Victoria? How did that all play out?
You always try and get as much time and leeway to help the clubs out if something like this is happening. I mentioned before when we had Brad Hill leave Fremantle and go to St Kilda, I notified, you know, Fremantle basically in March that's what they're thinking, and then again in July that it was going to, you know, they were definitely keen to go. So you try and give every person in the group or parties working with the opportunity as much time as they can to get this done. It just, you know, going into the trade period, I thought that, you know, I'd have actually the quietest trade period in 18 years. I wasn't going to have anything done. I knew that Bobby had met with Andrew, you know, over a 2-year period, thinking that he might want to go and live in Melbourne with family and friends. He'd like the support down there. So I've also mentioned before that, you know, I did have a chat with Graham Wright when he was at Hawthorn, that when they were looking for some small forwards, and I knew that Jason and the club had a really tight salary cap and a list spot, that maybe Zach Langdon and Bobby might go down there about 18 months ago. But Graham had a lot on his plate at that time, and in the end, I think Zach Langdon, we did know Zach went to West Coast and Bobby stayed. So it's been hovering for a while, and as he's only 21 years of age, I'm not too sure, you know, when I was 21, I was going to make this decision, made sure that he really took his time to make sure that this is what he wanted to do. And then probably about 2 weeks out, he mentioned to Andrew and I at a function that he definitely wanted to go. So, you know, he had a look at the clubs. I know people say there's 10 clubs in Melbourne, but not every club's looking for a small forward. We sort of thought there was 5 clubs that could be involved. So we spoke to the 5 clubs. Of that, 2 really picked up the ball and ran with it. And that's when it came out, basically, when I know it sounds strange, you know, we got the call from Jason Tuesday morning about 10:30. I was on the phone for about an hour and got back to Jason about 11:30, and he mentioned that he'd spoken to Fremantle about the possible facilitation of a trade between GWS Fremantle and Rory Lobb. So myself, you know, thinking, well, this could happen now, because if Bobby does pull the trigger, which I think he will, you know, we might be able to put some of his contract towards Rory's, and the deal could get done as long as all the clubs, you know, got what they were looking for at the end of the deal.
So Adrian Dodoro told us last night, Colin, that they knew about a week before. So this is basically the start of the second week of trade period, or the start of the first week if you count when it officially starts. When did GWS know?
I think the Friday, so Tuesday they rang me about Rory, and I reckon Friday mid-afternoon, Andrew might have spoke to Jace. Unfortunately, Andrew's not here at the moment, otherwise I'd put him on for you. Maybe give him a call next week to have a chat. But so Friday afternoon. So
that's the Friday with what, 5 days left of the trade period?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, that's right.
That doesn't leave a lot of time for you to get a deal done, does it?
No, well, if the planets lined up, it was okay. And I think you guys were saying through this that a future second was a pretty good deal for GWS. It probably didn't leave a lot of time for GWS to look for a forward, or if they thought, you know, if they needed a small forward to replace Bobby. I was always thinking that they might want the big, you know, lead-up forward of Roy back, and probably could get away with Bobby leaving. And that's where, unfortunately, I think Jason also mentioned on the media this morning or yesterday that, you know, clubs look for opportunities, and it's possible that sometimes, or someone else's strategy at another club might, you know, meet with what they were looking for or looking to do with GWS, but unfortunately it wasn't the case this time.
And so you had a situation that really it was affecting both of your players, and it could have helped both of your players.
I thought it could, and I thought it could help everyone. You certainly, you know, when you're going to trade, I know it sounds strange and people don't believe it, but I think most of the more experienced managers look for a pathway that's going to suit all parties, and it's a win for everyone, you know, and if the members are happy, the supporters are happy, the media, that's a good deal for everyone, that's well done, got done. So that's what, you know, we honestly were looking forward to do. But unfortunately, you know, it didn't happen, unfortunately. Yeah.
Colin, Jimmy Bartelli, obviously I've stayed out of that chat there for obvious reasons, but I've got one for you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I've got one for you. It's the NBA, of course. There's a lot of news going on with Kyrie Irving and the fact that he doesn't want to get vaccinated for whatever reasons, and it's created a big situation for his team.
And Kyrie's just been told that he's not allowed to be a part-time player. So yes, it's either get vaxxed or bye-bye.
So what happens in the AFL? Because we will have a decision on this soon regarding vaccination requirements for players. How will you manage that as a player manager?
I've been back, so I'm all good to go. But you're talking about players. Funny enough, I did some media this afternoon regarding a West Coast Eagle player. There were some rumours and innuendo about Jack Darling not wanting to get vaxxed, being an anti-vaxxer, which was not true. But basically, you know, the nation knows that if you don't get vaxxed, you know, you won't be on a plane, you won't be allowed to, you know, enter a stadium. So I'm pretty sure that, you know, if you want to continue playing football, you'll need to get vaxxed.
What would happen, Cole, if you had a client of yours that didn't want to?
Well, unfortunately, he wouldn't be able to play. It's out of my hands. He, you know, legally, he won't be able to probably play football because he won't be able to get on a plane. He won't be in the stadium, and he loses. I'd imagine, unless there's something there that I haven't read, he'd probably lose his contract.
But existing contracts wouldn't have that written into them, would they?
Well, it's interesting. Yeah.
No, they didn't. No, they don't. But as I said to you, sometimes, you know, there's the new CBA that's being done for the AFLPA coming up soon. I know that they're in discussions with the AFL. You know, there could be, you know, a possible, you know, something put into this. I don't know. It's sort of out of my hand. But basically, I know if I want to travel and meet my clients, I've got to be vaxxed. I'm vaxxed. I'm ready to go. I'm just hoping our Premier will let me get out and get back as soon as we can, because I'd like to get on the road again. But that's what my understanding is, Jimmy. That's, you know, you're going to have to be vaxxed. And I haven't heard of anyone. I only heard the rumours about a couple of West Coast players, but certainly none of my players that we represent have said that they're not going to get vaxxed. So it looks all good from our point of view.
Yeah, just a bit of news. Tomorrow is the deadline day for the first jab, and then you're not allowed to attend the football club.
So that's here in Victoria. Yeah, they've mandated it. Yeah, October 15. You've got to have a first jab to be able to work.
Yep.
Well, definitely all our WA players playing in Victoria have all been jabbed, so we're all good to go.
So you're in WA now, Cole. You can't really, leave the state, can you?
I could probably get over to Adelaide and back, but Scotty Lifet's over here. Sammy Powell-Pepp will probably be back soon. I think most of our players are back from Adelaide, so we'll catch up from over here. But as I said to you, as soon as those borders open up and I'm allowed to come back, I'll be over there and I'll probably spend a month or so in Victoria just getting back into it, because that's where it all happens.
A bit of audio played from Chris Davies actually talking about Sam Powell-Pepper, saying, you know, we'll find out in the next couple of months if he wants to work hard enough to become an AFL midfielder. Is this a big year for him in that regard?
Yeah, it's a big year. As you know, when you're out of contract, you know, it seems to be that it's a pretty big year for that, but it is a big year. And the conversation that Sam's had with Chris and probably Cripper has been honest, and that's the best thing in with the AFL, with these clubs, that the honesty is the best policy, and certainly a direct conversation with Sam where it sits, where he wants to go. With playing in the midfield, they've had that, and I'm pretty sure he'll be back, and you'll find a huge, fit, flying bull playing in the centre next year with Port. They've got some, you know, Cripper's put probably one of the best lists together in the AFL. I actually tipped them for the flag this year, so I got that wrong. But they've got those stars, Rosie and Butters, that probably could go in the midfield with a bit of flair. So he'll be up against it, but he knows he has to do it. And, it's going to be an interesting year next year.
It is. A week's a long time in footy. A year's an even longer time. Could we see a situation where Bobby Hill starts for a side that charges towards a grand final or preliminary final and then decides to actually he's going to stay?
Yeah, that's a conversation that we'll probably have with Bobby and his family next week. Bobby took up to see some family in Northern, and his dad stayed behind. His dad actually sat with Andrew and I during the trade period yesterday. So he came into the office about 10:30, sat down with Andrew, and he sat with us all the way through, listening to our phone calls, listening to how we're operating, and then we went for a beer straight after, and it was obviously pretty deflating. But we all agreed to catch up next week to have a chat. Bobby is out of contract next year. So, you know, there's going to be an interesting year looking at that one as well to see how it all goes with the support over there at, you know, with GWS.
Cole, thanks for coming on. Really appreciate it.
No, thanks, guys. Cheers, boys.
Colin Young there from Corporate Sport Australia, play manager of Bobby Hill. And